I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
The last NXT after show of the month of April, and things are breaking down. Are they building up? I'm not quite sure where we're going, but we're breaking down all the matches and all that stuff today. Hello, everyone. My name is Flip Boyce, and I'm so glad I'm in your life on your second screens. NXT comes to us once again from the Performance Center. And we're going to be first to talk about all the matches and our storyline developments. We got to introduce our all-star panel. First up, I'm going to give this person a little bit of respect because he came in and hosted the Monday Night Raw after show this week. Give it up for the co-founder or the founder of Real Talker, Jim Alexander.
There's no one else founding it besides me. I am Real Talker right now. I did host Monday. It was a hell of a show for those of you who didn't tune in. A lot more to talk about tonight on NXT, and I'm looking forward to looming.
Yes, I felt too. The person who was totally unnerved and kind of worried about it is, can I say this as well? I do every single week. She is actually Emmy nominated. Give it up for the championship wrestling from Arizona correspondent, Emily May.
I'm happy to be here. I'm good. It's Wednesday. We're getting through the week. We have more wrestling to talk about. It's awesome.
And speaking of wrestling, here's somebody who's also a pro wrestler and a comedian, which means he elected both to fall on his head and to get booed, possibly. Give it up for Hamza Khan, everybody.
Man, thank you guys for having me back here again. I'm excited to talk about NXT. NXT is bringing excitement and new stuff left and right. So I want to hear what you guys thought about it, for real.
Yeah, that's right. Overall thoughts. Well, this guy thought, well, yes, it was pretty okay. It was fun. It was a lot of things I liked. Some things, not so much. And we'll get to every single one of those. What about you?
I mean, that's how I felt too. It was one of those things where it was like they tried so many new things and I was giving it an opportunity. I watched with an open mind. I don't know if I liked it that much, but you know, I really was waiting to see what you guys had to say.
Yeah, Emily?
I mean,
she's in shock.
I am
over the show tonight.
No, I loved tonight's show. I feel like they tried something new. They tried fun things. They were they seemed to balance the matches versus the tournament and kind of created some new storylines. And I thoroughly enjoyed it. I feel like it was super fun tonight. It was a little more lighthearted. Yeah.
Cool. And King Alexander.
Well, I thought it was a good transitional show because I think it's all setting up to next week with all the major matches scheduled for next week that they were really promoting this week. But I thought it was a solid show. You had some teases for next week. You had some solid.
Tonight was that interim cruiserweight tournament, yeah. Rolls on. Isaiah Swerve Scott taking out El Hijo del Fantasma, which, you know what? This is why the match itself was great. Swerve is a star in the making. If they gave him the time, I think. But there's something about Hijo, man. I felt like he was a bigger deal in Lucha Underground, and it shouldn't be the case. Hamza, I want your opinion about this because it's the same guy, but what difference does a character make?
I'm not sure. I think, you're in WWE, you guys already know that promotion is a little bit more restrictive in what you can or cannot do. From what I've heard from other guys who have been in WWE versus independent, is you get, when you're out there in gorilla position, ready to go out, they tell you, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. So if you're ready and you're prepared to go out there and use a certain moveset, maybe that's throwing him off. I'm kind of glad that Swerve won, though, because I really like him. But just watching them two wrestle, Swerve was obviously outmatched, out-wrestling Phantasma, in my opinion. Yeah. So it's, to me, if he would have lost, it would have came off unrealistic. I'm glad he won. I don't know what's missing with this guy. I really can't. I can't explain it.
Sure. Emily?
Yeah, I mean, it felt like there was two, like, I feel like Phantasma was trying to catch up the whole time, that he was trying to find his groove in reaction to Swerve's kind of offense and his moves. And so I felt like there was moments of trying, because he comes from a more lucha style, that it was trying to fit in with what Swerve could do. And they were still, it just seemed like they were kind of, might've been out of sync a little bit.
Now, Jim.
Yeah. Well, he was out of sync. Yeah. He was out of sync and behind because he's old and it shows in the ring. He's what you would see. He's an old Sin Cara, at least the first Sin Cara who actually could have had do high flying moves, not the fatter one. the second one. But the first one, this is the old version of that. So, like, we've seen Sin Cara. That didn't work in any version. And this is not going to work. And I'm glad that Swerve got a win because he at least has some potential. And the guy can work in a ring. And I think this guy is an old version of Sin Cara that's way behind his time. So maybe in Lucha Underground, he can cut it when the 12 people watch it there, but not in NXT. This guy's run is ending real quick before he even started.
So let me ask you that, Jim. You know, we always talk about Swerve and how cool he is, but I mean, I guess he's not been given the ball. Why is that?
I don't know. I think he's just one of those guys that fell kind of underneath the radar and never was noticed or recovered. I think, remember he, the last tournament, I think, or something, where he had a quick loss to someone that couldn't even get over. I forgot who it was.
It's a breakout tournament. Like, I think he lost to Cameron Grimes. I have to check that out.
Yeah, or something like that recently. Like, why? Why is he losing in the first round? Why is he losing that quick? You know, this guy can work in a ring. He's young. He's got a lot of stuff that you can do with him. I just don't know. He shouldn't be characterized as a generic wrestler, but he has been so far. So hopefully this is a first sign of him actually getting some wins, which matter, and some, you know, showcasing in matches.
Yeah, Hamza, you were nodding in agreement.
It's, I mean, I understand. I mean, he's a great wrestler. Let's just, it is what it is. He's really good at wrestling. But wrestling is not the only thing you have to do in order to get noticed, right? And I think it's his personality and his aura around him. It's a little boring. It's a little, like you said, generic. He just doesn't have a character, I guess, people can grab onto. If you,
but he hasn't
you
know, gotten the shot
Instagram
yet.
And things like that versus anyone else that's in NXT, there's a huge difference of how he posts and how he portrays himself. So, good wrestler, but character appeal missing.
Ooh, Emily, character appeal missing?
I mean, you have to, it's hard because, you know, when you're coming off, when you get signed and you're trying to, like, you either keep your character or you adapt it or you morph or you create something totally new. And so if you're keeping part of who you were before and it's not necessarily working within the infrastructure that you're working in right now, then you have to, like, go above and beyond and rethink, think outside the box. And if it's not working, you have to relook at it. And this might be the point where they might need to relook at that branding.
Speaking of relooking, Dominik Dijakovic and Gargano?
My boy.
What? Your boy Jim is coming
boy.
At Johnny Wrestling. Look, we always said that you like that guy, Dominik Dijakovic, or whatever you call
my
him.
Boy, and Johnny Gargano was not
leaving. Yeah, he's not leaving NXT. So with Ciampa theoretically hanging out with Cross, what's this feud look like to you, Jim?
I don't know why they would do this because when you look at literally on paper, this guy would squash Gargano in like 5 seconds just by his size and all. First of all, I want to know where's this forest, the trail, where in Croatia is Dominik walking around these days? You know, like I want to know.
Orlando, what
at.
Are you doing?
Oh, it's Orlando. It's so disappointing. Yeah. But I don't know. I don't understand this unless it's a squash opponent for Dominik to kind of bring him. Because let's be honest, after this feud with Keith Lee, he's kind of fallen off the map. They're not sure what to do with him. They haven't found a way or direction with him. So he's kind of been falling off the radar because you can't do Keith Lee and my boy 20,000 times over and over. They've already done all they could. But I'm surprised they haven't lined up a feud for him. And now apparently it's going to be Gargano. I don't know if it puts him over because he should be able to take care of Gargano quickly. And this new Gargano isn't really that over to begin with. So, I mean, I guess it's fine for now. It's a placeholder feud for me.
The new Gargano is not over. It's been 2 weeks. Emily May, thoughts about this new feud?
It's never over. Judge Hopes.
I don't know. I'm still kind of up. I'm still up in air about it. No. No, I'm still kind of up in the air about it because I'm not sure what it's going to bring to NXT right now. I'm not sure if it's needed. So I'm feeling like they need something new.
Yeah, Hamza, it looked like Dominik Dijakovic was usually an antagonist, but if Gargano is the new antagonist, I assume Dominik is now a protagonist. Heel and faces don't really exist in that brand, right? So thoughts about that?
No, not at all. And I think what I felt about this is what NXT is to begin with, right? Developmental show is what it was to begin with. I think this is just throwing things against the wall, seeing what sticks. The best way to do that is to just switch roles between two guys, and that's the easiest way to get to that point. I agree with Jim. It's not going to really go anywhere. It's not going to do anything. I'm not sure what they can do with it.
But it can get so complicated, though, you know, and mixed up.
Nothing complicated. Squash that
Right. Squash Dead is what Squash I'm with, too. I'm with Jim on this
You know,
one,
right? I don't like you two agreeing all the time. This show can't work. And you guys are like, yo, Jim's like right.
Canceled. I'm canceling you guys. I'm canceling you guys out.
Also, you're so intelligent. I'm just, all right. So speaking of Team Gargano, right, Candice LeRae, Ice Queen, Killer Frost herself had a match against Casey Catanzaro, which I forgot about. I guess you made short work of her. Look, before I get to you, Jimmy, I know how you feel about this. I want to ask Emily May about the evolution of Candice LeRae. Because Candice LeRae always had an edge about it, even though she had that kind of like, you know, bubblegum kind
little
of
bubbly gimmick. Yeah.
Yeah, but now she's a heel now. Here's a chance for her to be vicious and ruthless. Is this the right version of Candice for NXT? Why or why not?
So I loved some of the moments she had tonight. I loved her bubbly personality with her character before, but I know that she has that little edge about her. She has kind of that little darkness hidden, bubbling underneath the surface. And I feel like tonight she showed that she can bring that out. And she was frustrated and angry. So I kind of like this edginess about her, but I want her to be super. Have the objectives and like the strength and the motivation behind it. I want her to kind of really showcase that in the ring, have it very like legitimate and targeted. And I feel like if she works on that and makes it really focused, it can be really fun.
So, Hamza, Candice LeRae is now a heel. She's an antagonist. That's without question.
Antagonist.
We love Candice LeRae. What will it take for her?
We do?
I'm getting to a point.
Yeah, we do.
And generally speaking, Jim, I mean, the audience. Like how?
Jim, let's Lebo talk.
What would Candice have to do to make me actually boo her, as opposed to Jim not caring about her? What would actually make us to boo Candice LeRae?
Well, see, Casey, to me, I thought she got fired a long time ago. I'm just surprised to see her today. But I really thought she came out to get squashed real quick and to make Candice LeRae look like a total badass, right? Mm-hmm. And that didn't happen. That was really weird to me that it didn't happen. And I like Candice LeRae. I liked her, like Emily said, I liked her bubbly personality. I liked that character that she kind of drew together. The antagonist now, or the heel, whatever you want to call it, I like to see what she would do with it. I just don't think the booking of this match was very, very well done. I think she should just killed Casey and kept moving forward. Her finisher was nice, though. I like the way the stomp looked, but, you know, they could have just ended it real quickly, and it would have done a much better job than what it did.
All right, Jim. Hey. It's open.
No, first of all, Holmes, no one's killing Casey. She might be appearing in a King's Court, so no, we do not wish anything like that to her. Okay?
Spoiler.
She's alive and well. Okay, that's a treat for you coming up. As far as Candice, like I said, first of all, I'm bothered by the hair color. I wanted her to go jet black hair. It would have given you the sensibility of a straight up heel. I don't know what this whole, like you said, Frost, Killer Frost means or looks like. This isn't a comic book, and it just isn't a look of a heel. It's just someone that's trying to be cool and hip. So
it looks like Alexa Bliss circa NXT, personally.
She's not in Alexa Bliss's company ever, okay? So let's not even compare that. But as far as this whole thing with this told me tonight that Johnny Gargano is finally found his niche. He's the perfect valet or manager, whatever you want to call him, to Candice LeRae. This is his role going forward. I think Johnny Gargano could actually do well in this role, putting over Candice, being there by her side, cheering her on, being kind of the Robert Stone to Candice LeRae in that sense. So I think I like where this is going.
He's the former NXT champion, Jim. He just wanted to be a valet overnight. Like,
yeah, this is a good role for him.
Oh, boo!
Just a quick PSA. I may have agreed with Jim at the beginning, but I don't agree with everything he said. Yeah.
The thing is, the one thing I will say is that this is a good moment for Johnny to work on his mic skills and kind of, you know, practice that. And he's trying to do this heel turn too. And so it's just kind of
that's like
added.
The blind leading the blind. You're going to correct those mic skills over this. Let him just be by the ring by her side. And I think it's effective enough.
I don't know if it's needed, if Johnny should be with, you know, but this is the first time we really saw this. So I'm interested to see how he helps.
I'll be patient with it myself.
Yeah,
exactly. I don't know how long it's going to last, but I'll be patient with it.
We have to wait to see.
Yeah. Before we move on to our next match, it's now time for a special treat. You're King's Court for the evening.
Oh, look at the reflection in the mirror. This is perfection. This is all hail Jim Alexander.
That was a mirror?
It's a mirror to everything. I mean, this is the King's Court. This is where it's at. There's mirrors. There's spotlights. You see all those lights hitting my way because things need to be lit up here. And we're lit up when Liv Morgan lights it up when she's on top of the King's Court, okay? She is the queen of the King's Court right now, because we all know that Mandy Rose is suspended for going with that whatever you want to call that banana gremlin or whatever you want to say about that ogre, okay, that slug Otis. This is not allowed in the King's Court, but we are allowing Katie Cannizzaro. She's not killed off. She is right here in the King's Court. We are bringing in a 1 week preview, a 1 week early. Scarlett Bordeaux is coming into the King's Court. Okay, we got that covered right here. Early tip off for those of you. Charlotte Flair, 3 weeks in a row, is making a King's Court. This has been a big transformation, big surprise to me, even that she has a welcome right here. So, of course, Alexa Bliss, like we mentioned, always has to be in a King's Court. And iconic, because they have not much to do these days, so there's always a spot here in a King's Court. And the doorman, of course, now this is a premier doorman, Mr. Dexter Lumis. He is on the outside. No one's getting in with him. He will literally chop you down if you try to get in unsolicitedly into the King's Court.
I got a question. Have you ever invited anyone that would like, hell no, I'm going to that King's Court. It's dusty. It smells crazy. No? Never?
No, this, everyone's welcome.
It probably has a stink to it, Flava.
It has nothing. It smells beautiful with all these beautiful women in the King's Court. It can smell only flawlessly.
Okay, so you know what didn't have any women? The Newly Bro Show that happened with Timothy Thatcher and Matt Riddle, which at first was really a bold decision, I thought, because an onstage sketch is definitely Raw SmackDown. I don't think we've seen much of that on NXT. I was kind of worried. I was about to be like, ugh, it's become the other two brands. But it actually made sense at the end of it, and I was all about it. Emily May, thoughts about the Newly Bro Show?
I love the Newly Bro Show. It was super fun. Yeah!
Said one person only ever.
Okay, Jim, other people on Twitter liked it too.
I dug it.
I think it was really fun. They need some fun here because, you know, Riddle's like that fun, like, fun character that, like, is silly. And so he's trying to bond with his, you know, interim tag partner. So it's a way to bond. And I think it was a fun way to do it.
But y'all say no.
I mean, Byron has officially sold out to the complete extent.
I think he was an awesome host.
No, yeah. He's making Jonathan Coachman look like.
I will not stand you. Have you besmirched a legend as Byron Saxton by comparing him to Coachman? The coach? No. The guy that actually had the word coach on his tights? Are you kidding me?
Can we mute him?
We don't mute kings in his court, okay, and his courtship right here.
There you go.
Crap. This is nonsense. Our viewers first of all, he's making Jonathan Coachman look like David Muir, okay? This is not what we want to see from Byron Saxton. I liked him getting a stunner from Stone Cold on Raw, but this is not a clown show. This is a professional broadcaster. This man provides commentary, he provides entertainment, but he's not a sidekick show. He's not a clown. He's not Doink. He's Byron Saxton. Treat the man with respect, not this kind of clown gimmicky crap he saw tonight.
I feel like it looked like he was having the best time, so I disagree with you completely.
What do you feel about this, man?
I'm gonna defend Byron Saxton here. He annoys the hell out of me. Don't get me wrong. But the fact that he gets – so here's the thing. We were talking earlier, and we were doing a Q&A with Corey Graves, and I asked him a simple question. I want to do comedy and wrestling. What do you think I should do? And he said – you should go in there knowing how to wrestle, and that's it. And then what they give you, you make the most of it. And I think Byron Saxton did that. He took what they gave him, and he made the most of it. And that's the only way to get yourself back on TV over and over again. I understand why the segment was there, because it was going to be introducing the two tag teams together, making them come off as like a unit. It would have been better with Pete Dunne. For me overall. But I don't think Byron was as bad as Coach, because Byron actually knows how to wrestle.
Yes, it has better theme music. So what about Imperium? Imperium is still in the background, I guess, half of them, looking for the tag team championships. With Pete Dunne still in England for, I guess, an indefinite amount of time, what was going on? I mean, is it right to still have this advance forward, or should it take a step back and try to build Thatcher up?
I think it should build Thatcher up a little bit more. I think if you're going to utilize him and he's going to come in and save the day for you guys, which he's kind of doing at this point because, you know, he's getting that opportunity – give him a chance to shine and really help him build up so when this ends, he can continue forward from there versus this is the one and done type stuff. So I think they're trying to give him a little chance here, but they really should build up Thatcher a little bit more and just kind of, I don't know, send him off afterwards.
Yeah, Jim, I want your opinion about this. I know you're a no-nonsense guy. I mean, are you a fan of Thatcher? Do you think it works with Imperium? I mean, is there a way to have him in that Pete Dunne slot being the straight man?
I mean, if you want to keep it alive in some way, sure, you keep it rolling. But what's next? I mean, because you don't have half of the actual tag team member who's gone, and we don't know how long. Is this going to be somewhat a blindsided transition to a full-time tag team, and somehow we're going to have Pete Dunne be forgotten and sort of stripped of being the tag team champion? Like, this is a angle that's kind of being built week to week because you just don't know the status of him. I kind of like him. Thatcher, he's not as good as Riddle. I think when you put Pete Dunne, they're both on the same level. Him and Riddle, I think they're both different personalities, but they're on the same level. Here is, we have a guy that's way better, you know, is the star of the group versus the guy that's kind of the one that we don't know much about that needs a lot of building to get to that level. So it's a different mood to this tag team, but you kind of do what you do. I just don't think they should be in like these goofy, gimmicky things like that. Because we haven't seen them wrestle in a while too. I mean, besides last week, you had the attacking, but like consistently, they need to, you know, defend those titles consistently, not once in a blue moon, even though they have a new team, sort of to say.
Yeah. Emily, thoughts about it?
I mean, again, I agree with you, Flobo, that we need more time to kind of figure out what this tag team's going to do and how they are going to work together. Cause you can't just throw everyone. You're not going to get the hitting lightning in a bottle again. So like trying to find, you know, the chemistry all over again, you can't force it. I feel like we just need to wait and see and kind of play it out.
But that's the way you build up the story, right? Like you keep doing these kind of things and put them in different scenarios to see where it fits. I think that, I mean, they're trying to do different things to just see what's going to work out. And that's the way you progress the story forward. So, I mean, we've got to be a little bit patient, just like with Gargano, and just see where it goes.
Exactly. And it's a good opportunity for Thatcher to really kind of showcase what he can do. You know, he's newer. And so this is, you know, this is a great opportunity for him. So he's going to try anything and do anything. And so we just have to be like excited to see what happens next.
Well, he better because he's from Bar Wrestling and you don't want to return there. Bars are closed.
The shade. Well, speaking of matches that left me going, dang, Jim, he might call this. Mia Yim has a first crack at Charlotte Flair, non-title affair. I can't make that clear. I guess people started hitting me up in the chat being like, you know, Flobo, the match wasn't for the title. Like, I would know. Like, I didn't know that. I don't want to. Anyway, so Mia Yim, Charlotte Flair, Mia Yim taps Colleen to Charlotte Flair. Io Shirai has the title shot next week. The NXT Women's Division, I have my own thoughts about this, but I don't like to rage when I moderate. So I'm going to ask you first there, Emily May. Last week we said, Mia Yim, we don't really know. The match, are your fears confirmed or is there some upside here?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like this was confirmed my suspicions that Charlotte is just going to go through every woman on the NXT roster. And Mia Yim was completely smashed in this match. So I just, Charlotte really just is that point where it's like, you know, she's gonna.
You sound heartbroken. You sound like, yeah, Mia Yim, damn.
She fought hard.
She did. I mean,
she didn't. No, she didn't. She got squashed, straight up truth.
She fought back. It took her a little while to fight back. It like in the middle, she kind of started to kind of do some offense. So it took her a little while. But then by that point, it was just destruction. So it's one of those things that like, if this is the way it's going to go with Charlotte just going through the roster, I want some, you know, like I think with Io Shirai, it's gonna like, you gotta take it up a notch and even more. So like, it's kind of like this match was like a warning to the other talent to say, hey, Charlotte's coming for you. You gotta be ready and be prepared.
Hamza, what do you think about this? Medium Charlotte Flair figure eight.
There's two parts in this segment that I really enjoyed. One was Charlotte Flair coming out, and the second was Io Shirai coming out. Everything in between can be tossed in the trash because that was terrible. That was awful. It was just really poorly done. And I think, I swear to God, it felt like Charlotte Flair owed Mia Yim a favor. and she's calling in an old debt, and they're like, all right, let's just get this over with real quickly. And she settled for a lower payment, I guess, if this was a debt to be collected. Yeah. Io Shirai, to me, I love seeing her, just watching this come out. I think she's going to elevate, Charlotte Flair is going to elevate Io Shirai. And even if Io Shirai loses next week, I think it's going to push her forward and maybe even get her brought up to the main roster, because I just feel like she's that good. Charlotte can run through all the roster because it's believable. Charlotte is great. Yeah. I mean, she always delivers. So, I mean, I know people hate it because she's Flair's daughter. She gets pushed, blah, blah, blah. But come on, man. When someone's good, they're good.
Yeah, but this is a chance for – it's hard because Charlotte, if she goes through the roster, everyone has to bring their A game. Like, right. You can't not bring your A game when you're going against Charlotte Flair.
Unless they're building up so much that, like, Raquel, for example, right? Raquel, they're building up, too, to be the strong girl. It might end up being one of those things where she goes through the roster until she gets to an opponent, and that's the woman they're trying to push. And
no, Raquel, I gotta jump in there. This story, I will say, honestly, this was my least favorite segment of the night. And this started out last week. You build up Mia Yim as being the first person to have a crack at Charlotte Flair. She has a match against someone who hasn't been on TV in 8 months, and she doesn't look strong at all. Charlotte Flair comes in with her lazy entrance, doesn't even get the full twirl, has the discount robe, you know, and Mia Yim taps out clean in the middle of the ring. And Io Shirai, the best wrestler arguably currently on that brand, comes out into Asuka mode and starts yelling at Charlotte Flair. She's a bad person now? I was so disgusted. Jim, thoughts about the match in this segment?
Hamza, I can't believe you said Io might lose, or she might, like, there's no chance of this happening, okay? Let's be real here. You guys are, I'm almost scared for both of you and Emily, because you guys are acting, this is real to you. This is not real. The reality is that Charlotte Flair... It's not real. The reality is that Charlotte Flair is going to go through everyone until she gets to Rhea Ripley. And then Rhea Ripley's going to take it back from her. This is where it's going. This is where it's set up. Everyone else, like, you people don't want to listen to me on the chat or all over, but I've been telling the truth all the time. Mia Yim is just a stepping stone, right? She's just going to – I told you this. I'm not giving away spoilers, but I'm telling you the truth every week before it happens. This is exactly what happened again. Mia Yim – just jobbed out as we expected. She has plenty of time to go on Twitch now and do her thing with the video games, because there's no way she should have been in the first place part of this match or feud, because what gave you the impression that she deserved even a shot at Charlotte Flair to begin with?
Yeah, see, I feel like the commentary had a misstep here also, and I don't want to dwell too much on this because we're a positive show here at After Buzz.
We're positive.
The commentary told us, like, oh my gosh, I can't believe Mia Yim is doing it. Her move, she hit her move, but didn't work out. What it should have been is Charlotte has not been on this high-paced brand for so long. Maybe she's lost a step. Because she doesn't need to be built up. I mean, you have to give Mia Yim a chance to look like she's going to win.
She's already built up already, yeah.
This is the glorified squash match. But let me move on to more positive things. It's now time for the lockdown playlist. That's right. If you're like me, you love NXT, but you're locked inside your house because of quarantine. There's a couple of shows you can watch and pass the time. Today, I want to give you the July 27th, 2016 edition of NXT. That's 7/27/2016. It sounds and reads like an alternate universe. The main event had Buddy Murphy against Kota Ibushi from New Japan. That alone is worth the price of admission. And No Way Jose cuts an angry promo that actually gets him over. If you could believe that, Samoa Joe is golden on the mic as well. And you get to see Billy Kay in solo action. So it was kind of a weird thing seeing how it is now to where it was back then. So Kota Ibushi, Billy Kay in a singles match. And you have my man, No Way Jose, acting serious before a conga line or after a conga line match. That's why this week's July 27th, 2016 edition of NXT is the lockdown playlist. Moving on. All right. So, Jim's boy, Dexter Lumis.
My boy.
Stranger Things, serial killer, right? Coming out with a match against Shane Thorne. I don't think it was one of the match in the past 2 months. Jim, take it away.
Look at the I can't even say the word because I'm so excited about Dexter Lumis. The intricate nature of this man. Everything is a stylized, choreographic version of like a dance in a ring with him. Yes, it is. Not the other graphic. But the thing with this man, the way he even pins you and the way he holds your head and looks into it, this man is so polished for a newbie, in a sense, a rookie on this brand. I can't be more impressed. He goes over like he should again. Every week, he just brings in a character that you buy into immediately. You don't have to sell it on it. He doesn't have to talk. Even this is a guy that proves that you don't need to talk to get yourself over if you're dad damn good and knowing your character, knowing your gimmick, and knowing how to live it. He's living it soon as he comes down the ramp until they cut the scenes. The guy is a walking literal character, a movie character on this brand, and I love what's in store with him. I see him and my boy main eventing a title match down the road. I couldn't be more impressed with Mr. Loomis.
Hold on, Jim, before I ask the other panelists, there's a question I asked you not last Monday before.
Yeah.
How can you be over with no crowd? Like, at what point do you realize someone is over when there's no response from a crowd?
He's got me popping at home, man. I'm working out.
Like, what?
He's working out.
Here's the thing. You know when someone's a star and not. It's just simple as that. You can see someone. We're talking about guys like, Swerve. Oh, you know, does he have a character? We're looking for characters for Ricochet and Raw. This guy comes out. He owns it. He lives it. He doesn't have to talk. You know what he is. You understand his character. He lets you in on it because he's the second. I'm telling you, character wise, he's the second best to Bray Wyatt right now in all of WWE. When we're talking about intricacies of a character and living out a character in a ring, I think that's how good he is. And he doesn't need the crowd approval because a character like this is just a living in a moment character. So you don't need any applause for that. It's a movie character that's part of this wrestling universe. So you don't need the crowd to react to him in any way because he doesn't need that. That's not what his character is based on.
Sure, Hamza, are you over when you're by yourself?
No, I mean, the lack of crowd is why I think Jim's liking it, because of that eerie silence and stuff makes it look a little bit more creepy. Everyone knows that if he was in the arena with a crowd and he was standing there looking the way he did the first night, you would hear nothing but like boos or we want beach ball or some kind of chant like that would throw him off or make it look goofy as hell. It's really
he will cut you for that.
He can cut me all he wants to. As long as he can cut a promo, that's all we care about, right? So, I mean, he's cool. I like him for what he is. I think he only works because there is no crowd, Jim. I don't think if a crowd was there, we would work that well.
I call my boy Dominic. I'm calling him. Watch. Let's talk about it in a few months. You'll see.
I do like him, Jim. I'm just saying. Emily, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like he has a good moveset. I feel like he's really dominant and just dynamite in the ring. I'm still trying to get behind this
Wednesday night
looming thing. I feel like he is a little creepy. He has that like serial killer vibe behind him. And I'm interested. I really want to know because I don't pop as much without the audience. I'm not feeling it. Like, I know he has that very, like, he doesn't blink. He has that really creepy stare that really kind of drags you. Jim, stop it. Drags you into.
That is kind of weird. Yes.
Yeah.
I didn't blink for like a minute. Awesome.
What's happening? And so he really has that going for him. And he just has a presence about him. But what I'm intrigued about is to see how he takes that and ups it with an audience. And I think to his credit, I feel like it is really great that he could capture an audience and get people talking about him online without anyone there. That he's just focusing on the moment in the ring and before he gets in the ring. That really.
Hamza, let me ask you something about this. Ready.
Yeah.
Does his moveset remind you of old school early day Goldust? Because I feel like he's got a lot of moves he's taken from Goldust.
Yeah.
And we saw some of it tonight.
That's actually a good call, especially the way he strikes and his little glove and everything. It's very similar.
Uppercuts, spine buster. Mm-hmm. I felt like he had a lot of Goldust in him.
Mm-hmm. You're right about that. That was a good call.
Yo, look, I like Dexter, but it's interesting how you're just like, yeah, man, Johnny Gargano, he's not over. But Loomis, over for 2 weeks. This guy's going to
make He still needs time.
Johnny Gargano wishes he had a career like Loomis.
Okay, you're drunk. All right, moving
on. All right, drink your beer.
I'm drinking energy, man.
Yeah, he's a high on life. So moving on, we have Tony Nese and Drake Maverick. Drake Maverick's redemption story rolls on, and he gets a win. Yes, I won a match as a wrestler, but that's actually my job. Hamza!
Man, I was excited about it. I was excited about Drake winning. I don't know what it is. He's like, I don't even think he's that good. But something about him makes me want him to win. Maybe because I'm a short guy, too, and I just want the short guys to win. But his little victory was kind of nice overall. Also, funny note, I should have done my research better. I realized what this tournament was when this match happened. Because my mindset went, wait, didn't he get lose last week? And then I realized, oh yeah, it's the right.
It's the round robin kind of thing. Yeah.
Right. So I'm starting to understand it now. So good for him. I kind of don't like the fact that he used that crying storyline because we were all kind of emotional over it as a way to get people behind him. But I do want him to. I want to see him do a little bit better than he's been doing recently.
Oh, fair enough. Emily May, I mean, look, it's a round robin tournament. He gets one more guaranteed match. Mm-hmm. Are you on board for this story 2 weeks in? I know at last week we were kind of like, well, does it make sense to do it with everyone being released?
I feel like tonight changed my mind a little bit because I saw the fire behind Maverick. I saw that he had so much passion. He had that giant turnaround in the ring during the match where he completely had so much passion behind him. I was there with him. I was in the ring with him. I was ready. I was like, I want him to take this and take it all the way. So I was his champion because he had this turnaround tonight and this win tonight. That's how I feel. I'm all for it. I still feel a little uncomfortable that if it is there are tons of people without jobs, but this just kind of elevates his emotional state to make this mean so much more.
Right. This is real to me. Listen, I've been telling you guys once again, this is a work. Okay. You got to listen to the king because he's always right. This is so completely a work. We saw this tonight more obviously than ever. Roots for the short guy. Holmes, I can't. Sorry. I appreciate you, dude. I just can't.
I'm standing here's up right thing. Now. Just so you guys know, I'm standing.
I'm sitting. But here's the thing. Listen, at least the guy's gotten himself over. Whatever way. He used social media. He used, he's got a good – I'll tell you one thing he's got. He's got a good way of making promos kind of feel authentic and making himself a likable figure. He always has, whether in the angle with his wife when they had the 24/7 championship. The guy's likable in a lot of counts. And because he has this endearing quality about him that he plays off really well. So I feel like a lot of people don't have that. So the point is that he's staying. He's not getting cut. And this tournament is literally become the Drake tournament because he's the focus of it. You're having cutaway scenes outside of the ring, showcasing him, talking about him. It's become a rooting rally for him, even during the commentary. This is the Drake tournament. He's definitely not getting cut. He's probably gotten re-signed. So don't feel bad for him. The man's got money to cash in the bank right now, and he might win this tournament.
Yeah, I'm kind of on the fence of the tournament itself, and it's round robin style, but I guess that means the most kind of matches for a tournament like this. And I also felt kind of weird that Todd Phillips had to like do the rules, but for Morrow, that was kind of a weird thing. But our main event tonight was the North American title was on the line. Keith Lee, Limbless One, who has a bruised larynx, it seems, against Damian Priest, the Archer/Vampire/Blade/Creepy Uncle, who wears fringe pants. The match itself was pretty solid, I thought, but Keith Lee gets the win, getting the last vanquish away, the man, Damian Priest. Hums, let me ask you this. North American title division, thoughts about the match, and where does the belt go from here?
I enjoyed the match. I actually like Damian Priest. I just don't think his character makes any sense, and his name doesn't make any sense to his moveset, so it's not enjoyable like that to watch. Everyone knew Keith Lee was going to win. I mean, it's pretty obvious he wasn't going to lose here. The story was there and everything. It was okay for what it was. I guess that's that. Damian Priest was just Mia Yim in this situation in the men's division is what I felt in this match.
I won't do it. I agree with what you meant, but like Mia Yim, that whole segment is like, ugh.
Just for this match, this
No, today. No, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. You just triggered me, bro. I just
I know. I feel like you have like PTSD there. You're like, ooh.
I don't know. What is the, I won't rant. I'm positive show. Jim, thoughts about the match?
You said positive show and you went to Jim. That makes
sense. Yeah, positive
that
show.
That makes
Jim.
No sense. You should I'm
glad you caught that. No.
This makes a lot of sense. I love Keith Lee. He's the greatest. Keith Lee's a world champion. Okay, sorry, I'm not TK. Keith Lee needs a new opponent because Damian Priest, what is he? Like you said, Hamza, we don't know what he is. You know what he was before he debuted? That was a perfect gimmick for this guy. This clubber, this NYC, get into the limos with the women around. I was buying that. That's a gimmick. That's a you were buying into that character right away. This is, what is he, an arrow shooter? Is he a Native American? Like, I don't know what he is. He's a vampire? Is it Vampiro second coming of?
Right.
Like, everything's shaking here because I don't even know what to say about this guy because I don't know what he is. And the thing is, he's up there in age too, so that's not helping him either. You know, it's not like he's got a long run and, you know, potential to be repackaged many times, but he needs to get a straight up normal gimmick to stick with one time. And so we are clear of it because right now he's just a guy that dresses in leather pants, looks the part. Like, he could be challenging a Keith Lee, but just not believable in any way because he's in a sense, he's a lost, miscast wrestler in a lot of ways. So I didn't care for this feud. I didn't care for this. I just thought this was a one-off kind of match. And on to the next. What's next for Keith Lee? Because I don't think there's much for Damian Priest unless they repackage him.
Well, Emily, man, that's my question. I mean, Keith Lee is still the North American champion, and I guess in theory he would still be over if crowds were in the audience. Oh, Where does Keith Lee go now?
Oh, God. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's so hard because so he's – is he the second longest reigning North American champion right now?
Is okay. That, it's a young belt. I mean, it doesn't really matter what
it's only like – it's only been like six champions, right?
Yeah.
So we're super young. So I feel like he's going to beat the record. He's going to be the longest reigning champion. But what they need to do is repackage because repackage who his opponents are going to be. And figure out, you know, what that next story is going to be. Because right now, there's nothing there right now.
Here's a question. I got a question for all of you. Has Keith Lee lost his luster? Because the guy was really over with the crowd. But are we seeing now a version of Keith Lee where you don't have the crowd hyping him up and making him be better than he maybe is? Yep. I just think right now Keith Lee is a middle of the pack wrestler. I know a lot of people were, you know, shouting for him to be the next star, the next, you know, main eventer kind of thing when they were teasing it at Survivor Series. But now I think Keith Lee's coming back to earth without a crowd, without the marks pumping up a guy to be better than he is. I think you're seeing the real Keith Lee, and he's not that over, that entertaining without a crowd. For me, he just gets kind of forgotten in the sense that he's okay.
I think that's an unfair statement because wrestling is a live performance art form. So you can't just say, oh, there's no crowd. He's whack.
But that's the guys are getting over.
I disagree, Jim.
Sorry, I got you there.
Guys are getting over now.
Jim, I have to say his moves were incredible tonight. He like threw Damian Priest over the guardrail onto the ring. Like he had incredible moves tonight without an audience.
Moves don't make a career. I mean, come on. Like that's the thing.
I mean,
it's his.
Yes, they do. It's part of the package. It's part of the package, Jim.
But no, Hamza, what do you think about Jim's question?
No, but I mean, I kind of see where Jim's coming from. He wasn't as like popping and stuff as he typically is with the crowd, but I think he feeds off that crowd, kind of like we all do when we perform, right? So if no one's watching, it's just a little bit harder to have that momentum going. You're used to hearing the pop and whatnot. I still think he did great. I don't think Damian was a good opponent for him. I think if it wasn't for Damian, he still would have showed out like he always does.
But who's a great opponent for him besides my boy? That's the only one he's put we haven't seen that. But
that'd be a great opponent like to see him go against.
Sure, I agree. That would be interesting. But who has he worked with, can you think of, besides my boy, who they put on, like I said, match of the year probably to this day, I think, and they worked together great. Who has he really made a star? Who has he made look like $1 million, where he fit into a feud with? I can't think of many people.
He's more of a main event player. He's more of a main roster player than he's NXT.
Here's the thing, Jim. I agree with you on the fact that, yes, Keith Lee has lost his luster, but only if you admit that everyone's lost their luster because of the environment. Like, you can't
the great ones make it still work, okay?
Drew
McIntyre, has he lost his luster without a crowd?
Yes, he has, and I'll tell you why. Yo, Drew McIntyre is a specimen, but the last 2 weeks he walks in a ring and say, I just want to say thank you for all the fans. No one's in the crowd anymore. He's been pretty lame for the guy. He's amazing. I'll buy a ticket to see him, Jim. I'm not knocking. I'm not saying it's an unregular guy. But he ain't the same as he was back in January. He was a tour de force back then.
He still is. I don't know. Besides the crowd, I think the crowd would even elevate him higher than he is. I think Drew McIntyre would be next level right now if that was the case, if they had a crowd. I just don't see the same thing with Keith Lee.
Well, hey, guys, in the chat, let me know what you think. We're actually out of time here in the NXT After Show. Thank you so much for listening. And make sure you follow AfterBuzz TV Wrestling and Sports whenever you have to get the chance. Hamza, where can the world find you online and get your merch, apparently?
There you go, right there.
Yay. Hey,
Hamza _Mania. YouTube, Twitter. Mirrored. I should have mirrored it the other way. YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, Hamza Mania. Hamza_Mania.
Brother. Emily May.
Brother.
Awesome. awesome. So you can find me on all social media platforms at Emily May Heller. Check out our Women's Wrestling Weekly interview today with MJ Jenkins. She had an incredible story, incredible interview today. So go check out on AfterBuzz TV's wrestling channels.
And you can follow me at TheJimAlexander, RealTalker.com, RealTalker on YouTube. Subscribe. I'm following my leader Flobo's idea, and I'm starting a Patreon. So all you nerds, subscribe and come on with it. You need to pay for the King's content now, because this is content that's going to be exclusive to all you marks out there. So make sure to stay tuned. I'll have more details next week.
Well, unlike Jim, I wouldn't insult you. Please follow me on Twitter at Flobo, Flobo Voice, or Instagram at Flobito and Flobito.com. The t-shirt site, buy a t-shirt at Flobito.threadless.com. Patreon is live, exclusive content, two posts a week with brand new stuff you won't see everywhere else. Patreon.com/Flobo Voice. But until next time, buzz you later.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.